السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ثم أما بعد، إذ جعل الذين كفروا في قلوبهم الحمية حمية الجاهلية، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، آمين يا رب العالمين. Today I want to talk to you about this word, a very common word in Islamic conversations, al-jahiliyah. Al-jahiliyah comes from the word jahl. Jahl is two things. It's the opposite of two things in Arabic. It could be considered the opposite of al-ilm, and it could be the opposite of al-aql. What that means is jahl could mean ignorance, and it could also mean mindlessness. Now let's first understand what those two things are. Jahiltu shay'a could mean I had no idea about something. I had no knowledge of it. So you being jahil could not necessarily be a bad thing in that context. Just إِذَا لَمْ تَعْرِفُهُ فَجَهِلْتَهُ. You just didn't know it. Okay? So that's one meaning. But the other meaning is far worse. And the other meaning is someone who thinks is a aqil, and someone who makes a decision without thinking is a jahil. A jahil is not just someone who doesn't know, but also someone who doesn't think. This leads me to just comment just briefly about the difference between thinking and knowing. And these seem like abstract things, but they're pretty important to understand. The Quran, for example, complains about, I mentioned this to you in passing before, it complains about people who don't think, not necessarily about people who don't know. And as a matter of fact, the Quran talks about people who know things very well and do the wrong thing, right? So knowledge and knowledge and thinking are actually some things that are not necessarily dependent on each other. They have a relationship, but not a very necessary one. You can have someone who does not have a lot of knowledge, but is very clear in their thinking. You can have someone who has a lot of knowledge, but they're still not clear in their thinking. I'm reminded of the old expression of Arabic of the Bedouin, you know, the desert traveler. One time this guy who had spent time in Greece among the philosophers, he came into the Arab lands and he saw a Bedouin traveler. So this guy is like philosopher and abstract thinker, and that guy is a camel jockey, you know. And they're having a conversation. He says, how do you know there's a God? How do you know that, you know, there's another life and all this other stuff? But basically, how can you believe there's a God? And the camel traveler, you know, the Bedouin, you know, he just looked at some camel droppings. There was some, you know, poo. And it says, تَرَكَ الْبِعْلَ الْبَعِيرَ and walked away. He says, the camel left some poo and walked away. That was his answer. You know why that was his answer? The fact that I see these droppings means there must have been a camel. The fact that I see this world around me, there has to be a creator. Simple. I'm walking away now. Like, he didn't have to have some complex philosophical response and discuss abstracts. He had a very clear way of thinking. You see? So sometimes knowledge and thinking are not mutually, they don't go hand in hand sometimes. Another easy example for you to understand is there are people who are PhDs and, you know, very intellectual and they read all the time, but when you have a simple conversation with them, you get confused. And as a matter of fact, a lot of times, even if you ask them, what did you just say? They can't even tell you. You know, this overdose of knowledge and you lose clarity in thinking. Now, the opposite of that, of course, is al-jahiliyah, the ilm and aql, and the opposite is jahiliyah. So jahiliyah is someone, a jahil is someone who doesn't know, and also someone on top of that who doesn't think. I mean, at least if you didn't know, at least you should be capable of what? Thinking. Like, every human being is not knowledgeable, but every human being is capable of thinking. The worst of it all is al-jahil, someone who speaks without knowledge, acts without knowledge, and on top of that, without even thinking. Without thinking. It's okay to not know something but be concerned. Look, I shouldn't say something about this because I just don't know. There are consequences for speaking out of ignorance. Now, this jahiliyyah, this term is used, of course, by the Quran and then by the Muslims after that as the term to describe the era before the Prophet ﷺ came. So the time, the Jahiliyyah period. You've heard this before? The era of Jahiliyyah, Asr al-Jahiliyyah. What does that mean? It means before their age of revelation. Because revelation did two things. It destroyed Jahiliyyah from both fronts. It brought knowledge, which ends Jahiliyyah. It brought clear thinking, which ends Jahiliyyah. So before this revelation, there may have been knowledge, but not clear thinking. Or there may have been people with thinking, clear thinking, but they didn't have the right knowledge. And it ended all forms of Jahiliyyah by coming and ending that problem. Now what I want to highlight quickly is four kinds of Jahiliyyah the Quran talks about. The Quran makes mention to four kinds of Jahiliyyah. Interestingly, now that you're students of Arabic, I can tell you this. Jahiliyyah in the Quran is always a mudaf ilayh. It's four times it's a mudaf ilayh. It's hukmul jahiliyyah, dhannul jahiliyyah, tabarruj al jahiliyyah, hamiyat al jahiliyyah. All four are mudaf ilayh. So let me tell you the first one. Hukmul jahiliyyah means the rule of al jahiliyyah. The rule, the governance of al jahiliyyah. The first thing Allah criticizes is أَفَحُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. Are they looking to pass verdicts and decisions? Are they looking for wisdom of jahiliyyah? In other words, when you don't have restraint on yourself, and that's the other thing I should have mentioned. Aql in Arabic is not just thinking. Aql is also self-control. Aql also means self-control. Tying yourself up, holding yourself back. Jahiliyyah actually then means a lack of self-control. You know, this helps you understand what Musa alayhi salam said when Banu Israel were talking about what color cow, you know. And he said, "A'udhu billahi an akuna min al-jahilin." I seek Allah's refuge, I might become from the jahilin. He's not worried that he might become one of those idiots who are asking stupid questions. He's not worried about that. He's worried about losing control. Because when he lost control some time ago in his life, he threw a punch. So when you lose control, you also become jahil. And when you maintain control, you become what? Aqil. Allah criticizes hukmul jahiliyyah. Entire governance, decisions made based on a lack of control, whim. Just an emotion came and you acted. You acted out of jahil. This is why people who say whatever comes out of their mouth, they have no restraint. They just, whatever comes out of their mouth, they say. They're also called jahil. This is why Allah says, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ Jahilun qalu salama. When the jahil speak to them, what does that mean? They have no restraint in what they say. They use whatever language they feel like. Now let me tell you what it means, decision making based on jahiliyyah that Allah criticizes. Let me give you some modern examples of that. You have, for example, stock markets and experts on stock markets who say, I have a feeling that oil prices are going to go down because of this. What does he have? A feeling. And because of his feeling, entire stocks and companies and exchanges are going to shift billions of dollars. People are going to shift. People that are in the stock exchange, people that are in the investment life, you know how much if there's an expert who just has a what? A feeling. My gut tells me. Entire markets move. You can crash entire markets if you just go on a feeling. You could. And it's been done before. It's been done before. And that feeling, who does it impact? That one decision. You could just say, oh, just the stock market brokers and they're just sitting in some firm somewhere pressing buttons of trade and buy and sell. It doesn't affect anyone. It affects things like oil prices. When oil prices are affected, grocery prices are affected. Delivery prices are affected. Construction costs are affected. Somebody was able to purchase a home. They're not able to purchase a home anymore. Somebody was looking for rent. Now the credit market is crunched. Nobody's giving you a place for rent anymore. Millions of lives have been affected by some guy's what? Feeling. This is an example of hukmul jahiliyyah. Is that what they're pursuing? That's what they're pursuing? Just make big decisions based on a whim? Based on nothing but whim, subhanAllah? What kind of damage you can do in society? Then of course you have in the world of in what's happening in the United States. This is the scariest thing. You know, now counselors are being told that if a young person comes to you and says, I think I'm homosexual, you're not supposed to tell them there may be something wrong with that. You're not allowed. You can lose your counseling license. So if you want to be a psychiatrist, a therapist, etc., you have to say you're entitled to your feelings. If you're having that feeling, that must be a good thing. You should live by those feelings. And that's the only way you'll ever get happiness, is you do whatever you feel. Because, of course, our constitution and our way of thinking is life, liberty, and the pursuit of what? The pursuit of happiness. You should be able to do what you want. I would argue, really? You should be able to do what you want? And people have feelings all the time. I feel like slapping people all the time. You know? How many crazy thoughts go through a teenage boy's mind? How many feelings go through his mind? You're saying he has a right to act on all of his feelings? There are no restraints? Isn't that the most insane worldview? You should be able to do whatever you feel like? If everybody started doing that, what would we be left with? We'd be left with utter chaos. The entire idea of aql is what? Restraint. There are some things you have to hold back. You might have a feeling, but it's not a good idea to act on it. It's not good for you and it's not good for someone else. There has to be some restraint. That's the idea of hukm al-jahiliyyah. The rule, decision making, a thought process that is based on no restraints. Hukm al-jahiliyyah, just feeling. And by the way, that is the kind of thinking that has been glorified in our day and age. Like the most advanced kind of thinking is hukm al-jahiliyyah. What the Quran calls hukm al-jahiliyyah. Subhanallah. And why is it that? You know why that is? It's so beautiful. The reason they say hukm al-jahiliyyah, you know, do whatever you feel like, is so powerful because we cherish the idea of freedom. Because when you do whatever you feel like, that means you're truly what? Free. Look at how Allah comments in one ayah on this idea. أَفَ حُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Done. Are they seeking the governance, the rule, the decision-making of jahiliyyah while Allah, to Him, everyone and everything submits? The idea of submission is the exact opposite idea of freedom. If you've submitted to someone, that means you're not free. If you're completely not under any submission, of any pressure, of any kind, that means you're free. Allah says, did they forget that they're in submission in their very existence? They seek hukm al-jahiliyyah. If Allah were to give them freedom, do whatever you want, exist, then Allah doesn't have to take care of them. You and I are dependent on the rain that Allah sends, on the air that Allah sends. Our bodies are submitted to the nature Allah made of them. Our bones are bent the way Allah wanted them to bend. The joints work the way Allah wants. Our entire bodies are in submission to Allah. You want to be free? If Allah lets this creation go, it doesn't stand a chance. It doesn't exist on its own, subhanAllah. So that's the first kind of jahiliyyah. I'll go quickly now. Dhannul jahiliyyah. Dhannul jahiliyyah. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ in Surah Ali Imran. When things get bad for weak believers, this is the second category, when things get bad for weak believers and they think that holding on to Islam will ruin their life. Islam is the thing that is ruining their life. It's making things difficult for them. If they didn't have Islam, things would have been so much easier. They were munafiqun, and some who weren't even munafiq, they were weak in the iman, in the battle of Uhud. When things got really bad in the battle of Uhud, dhannul jahiliyyah came in their minds. We've been destroyed. We should have stayed home. This Islam thing has destroyed us. It's ruined us. In other words, dhannul jahiliyyah, Allah describes, when somebody makes sacrifices for the sake of Allah, and they look back and say, I shouldn't have made those sacrifices. I should have done other things with my life instead of making these decisions for Allah. You know, I missed out. The people who didn't make the same sacrifices, look at them. They have a better career now. They have a better business now. They have a better this or that or the other now. And I was left behind in dunya. Well, you know what? When you make a decision, a sacrifice for the sake of Allah, like, I'll tell you a real example. I met somebody not too long ago in another country who ran a business, and a very successful business. He had a restaurant business. All of his restaurants had liquor. All of them had a liquor. And of course, he's Muslim, but he's selling it. He says, you know, he used to tell himself, well, most of my customers are non-Muslim anyway. So it doesn't matter. You find some way of justifying it to yourself. So, you know, one day out of the blue, Allah puts something in his heart, something happens in Ramadan, and he says, I want to get rid of everything. I want to start everything new, and I want to start it totally halal. By the way, a totally halal restaurant will not do nearly as well as a semi-haram restaurant. Okay? Semi-haram is good money. It's good money. Your customers are way more. And the Muslims don't seem to mind either. So, you just broadened your base, you know? But he says, I'm going to go strictly. The family's against him. Partners are against him. You know? Everybody around him is saying, what are you doing? The only one left that's telling him he's doing the right thing is himself. And he sells all the businesses, puts all the money in like a good thing, and starts new and not even making one-tenth of what he used to make before, you know? And he says to himself, did I really make the right decision? Man, I had to sell the car. We can't even afford that house anymore. All those luxuries are gone. Now I'm living like this. Kids aren't happy. Wife isn't happy. She says, why can't we move back to the old neighborhood? Why can't we just, you know, take out a loan or something else? I made my life so hard. When those thoughts start creeping in your mind, that's a decision you made clearly for Allah was a bad idea. That basically is what? Dhannul jahiliyyah. It's dhannul jahiliyyah. You're not thinking clearly. You don't know what you're saying. That's jahiliyyah. The third kind of jahiliyyah is actually directed at women. It's tabarruj al-jahiliyyah. It's beautifying yourself, the beautification of jahiliyyah. Don't decorate yourself. Don't dress yourself up, dressing up of al-jahiliyyah. Now let's go back to the meaning of al-jahiliyyah. Not knowing and not thinking, yeah? You don't know the impact of the way you're dressed on yourself, and you don't know the impact of the way you're dressed on other people. A young girl who's 10 years old has an older sister. The older sister decides that she wants to get a belly ring and show it off. She wears these t-shirts that expose her stomach. She wears tight jeans or whatever she wears, and she's going out, Muslim girl. The young girl who's 10 years old, who's memorizing Quran and studying and all this stuff and wants to be a good girl, her role model, whether you like it or not, who's her role model? Her older sister. The decision this older girl made isn't just for herself. She's leaving an impact on a child. She's making an impact on a child, you know? Forget about, you know, the men will look at her and all this. Forget all that stuff. Talk about within the family, what has she done? For this child, what has she done? You know, she has an impact on these things. Then of course, you know, if she's living in the United States or living in Canada or maybe she's in some other university somewhere and around her are non-Muslims. Non-Muslims. And she's a Muslim. When she's dressed inappropriately or she's exposing herself, you know, and she feels like this is her freedom. Because, you know, when you question it, what's the first question that comes up? I'm free to do whatever I want. You can't tell me what to do. The discussion is always about freedom, isn't it? And jahiliyyah, what is it at the end? Doing whatever you want. That's the glorifying that idea. Now the thing about this, I want to do or dress or, you know, look however I want. The truth of it, I mean, sometimes I got myself in a lot of trouble. There was a sister, she came to me and she was dressed, I had to look away. And she said, you know, I know you think I'm a bad person. And I said, I don't think that. That's for Allah to decide. That's not for me to decide. You know? Well, you know the way I'm dressed and stuff. I was like, okay, well, that's your decision. I would not let my family dress that way. You know, and I don't think that's an appropriate way to dress, but it's you made that decision. I didn't call it inappropriate. You called it inappropriate. Why did you call it inappropriate? Like, if you even think it's wrong, why are you wearing it? So I asked her that. And you know, you don't want to ask sisters questions like that. You get in trouble. But I, you know, I'm addicted to trouble. So why do you dress like that? I just asked her, if you don't think it's right, why do you dress like that? And the answer she gave me was very strange. I don't think this is the answer for all women, by the way. I don't. But the answer she gave me just left me stunned. She said, I just want to feel beautiful because my boyfriend keeps telling me I'm ugly. That's it. That was it. There's nothing else. I asked her a follow-up question. So you're not dressing like this for yourself? Because you feel good? because you like? It's because other people should tell you you look beautiful? That's why? She said, yeah. You know, subhanAllah. How just that one want, wanting to feel beautiful, just that, can drive someone to that point. You know? This is tabarruj al-jahiliyyah. You're not thinking clearly. What makes a person beautiful, what makes a woman beautiful will not come from other people's words. It won't come from their words. It won't come from the way they stare at you. You know, there are women who dress like that and they get whistled at, commented at, they get hit on, and they still feel ugly. You ask them, "What do you think you look beautiful?" "No, I think I'm pretty ugly." Like, somebody whistles at them, they feel kind of maybe mission accomplished for a few seconds, and then go back to depression. Why do you think the makeup industry is doing so well? Or the surgery, the plastic surgery industry, and the transform yourself and stretch your skin in ways you couldn't imagine before industry. Put yourself to that kind of pain. Why? That's actually tabarruj al-jahiliyyah. Now, I want to balance that equation. Is beautifying oneself encouraged in our deen? Yes. Yes. Did Allah put in the nature of a woman that she should want to beautify herself? Absolutely. That does not come from a corrupt, kafir, feminist society. That comes from the nature of a woman. How do I know that? For sure, how do I know that? أَمَّنْ يُنْشَأُ فِي حِلْيَةٍ. The one, Allah talks about the baby girl who used to be buried alive. You remember that, Jahiliyyah? He says, the one, the baby who was raised in jewelry. Even when she was a baby, she had love of what? Jewelry. A girl is supposed to have love of beauty. That's part of her nature. Allah put that in her. Like Allah even describes the baby girl with the one who was raised up with jewelry. And hilya actually doesn't just mean jewelry, it means beautification, decoration. She loves decorating things. She loves decorating her notebook. She'll draw flowers all around her notes. You know? She'll color coordinate her pillows. You'll get Legos and she'll take all the pretty color Legos and make something and, you know, draw patterns and flowers. And there's this love of beauty. Boys have love of, you know, blood and monsters and, you know. But girls are obsessed with beauty. Even the girls that look, you know, that act like boys, like tough girls. Like a couple of my girls are like basically boys, you know. Like they're just really tough. Because they have two brothers older and, you know, Iman's like. But when she dresses up and I say, "Oh, you look so beautiful." You know. But then, and that beauty is supposed to be acknowledged by who? It's supposed to be acknowledged by the father. It's supposed to be acknowledged by the husband. They're supposed to acknowledge the beauty of their daughters and their wives. They're supposed to do that. And when they don't do that, then it becomes tabarruj al-jahiliyyah. Then it goes in the wrong direction. SubhanAllah. Just for the husband to not compliment the beauty of his wife is encouraging her to do tabarruj al-jahiliyyah. You know that? Just that much. Is encouraging her, "Well, I don't get his attention. I must be ugly." But you know, by nature, a woman does not want to be or feel ugly. That nature will find some unnatural course to fulfill itself. It's supposed to be fulfilled by the husband. It's supposed to be fulfilled by the family. Then don't go yelling at women that are dressing up or wearing makeup or this or that, or they wear hijab, but look at how the rest of them is dressed and what they do. Wait, hold on. There's something deeper going on here that we haven't addressed. And we have to especially do this for our younger girls, give them the right kind of self-esteem so they don't look for that attention anywhere else, because tabarruj al-jahiliyyah is huge now. You know, in America, we're really happy we came here, by the way, because we bought a lot of clothes for the girls. Because when you go to America and buy clothes at Target or, you know, some other store, and the girls' section, the shirts are getting shorter and shorter. We literally have to go to the boys' section to find something they can wear. It's ridiculous. You know? They're making younger and younger kids dress provocatively. You know? Because this tabarruj al-jahiliyyah is spreading. This beautification of jahiliyyah, of decoration of jahiliyyah is spreading. By the way, tabarruj comes from burj. Burj, which is tower. And tower is something that's prominent, it sticks out. Tabarruj is not just beauty, it's not jamal like tajammul. Tajammul would be beautification, tazayyun would be beautification, zina is also beauty. What does tabarruj highlight? Tabarruj highlights when beautification is done in order to get attention. Because a tower gets your what? It's prominent, it gets your attention. Tabarruj al-jahiliyyah is you're only decorating yourself in order to garner attention. That's when you're doing, that's literally tabarruj al-jahiliyyah, subhanallah. So that's the third one. So I did hukm al-jahiliyyah, dhannul jahiliyyah, and tabarruj al-jahiliyyah. And then the fourth and the last one is actually hamiyat al-jahiliyyah. Hamiyat al-jahiliyyah. Hamiyat al-jahiliyyah is basically strong emotions, anger, excitement, you know, that is based on jahiliyyah. When you feel strongly about something, but the thing you feel strongly about is not worthy of you feeling strongly about it. Let me give you an example. People can get into fights about Chelsea versus, you know, Barcelona. Fine. I don't even know. They can get into fights about it. They're ready to kill. They're mob breakouts. Cars are being burnt because they lost a match. People are so aggravated emotionally. Why? That's called hamiyatul jahiliyyah. Excited emotions that are rooted in nothing. That are rooted in nothing. Hamiyatul jahiliyyah nowadays is also racism. I commented before about the attitudes towards immigrants, for example, in many countries. These people, look at what they've done. You sit home and drink beer all day and yell at these people who go to work. But they don't deserve and you deserve. This is hamiyatul jahiliyyah. It takes many forms. But in any kind of emotional attachment that you have, that is not based on reality. By the way, Muslims are capable of hamiyatul jahiliyyah too. For Islam. It's crazy, and that sounds crazy. You could have hamiyatul jahiliyyah, you could have excited emotions for the sake of Islam, and it's still ignorant. It's still ignorant. We love our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is insulted, it makes us angry. Absolutely it does. But when that anger makes us act in a way that has no restraint, and our entire religion is restraint, and that anger makes us act that is completely devoid of the actual knowledge of how you should act, you just want to act, that's called hamiyatul jahiliyyah. That's a quality of disbelievers. You have to have control over your emotions. So hukm al-jahiliyyah, the decision-making based on ignorance. Decision-making based on no restraints. Then there's dhannul al-jahiliyyah, assumptions made about whether or not you did your sacrifices were worth something. Then tabarruj al-jahiliyyah, beautification done for just absolutely ignorant reasons. No good reasons. And then finally, hamiyatul jahiliyyah, loyalties, emotions, aggravated emotions for things that don't deserve it. For things that don't deserve it, subhanAllah. Hamiyah is a good thing, hamiyatul jahiliyyah is a bad thing. Dhan is a good thing, dhanul jahiliyyah is a bad thing. Hukm is a good thing, hukmul jahiliyyah is a bad thing. Tabarruj is actually a good thing. Tabarruj al jahiliyyah is a bad thing. May Allah Azza wa Jal not make us people of al jahiliyyah and give us a better understanding of His book. Barakallahu li wa lakum, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for watching, guys. I hope you benefited. I'd like to encourage you to actually embark on a comprehensive journey into the Quran. I've done a video translation and explanation of the entire Quran. It's called Quran Cover to Cover. I'd like you to check it on Bayana TV. Just do a little bit of it every day, and before you know it, you'll have gone through the entire Quran in translation with me. Hope you can take part. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.